Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. You know, second service is so unique because second service starts with like two-thirds empty. And then worship begins. And about halfway through worship, it's like, okay, this is where everybody is. First service packed out. Wow, what an amazing service with Brother Chris Estrada. You are not going to be sad that you came. God's got a word just for you. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's get ready to open in worship. And we're going to give Brother Chris as much time as he needs today because, wow, it's good. Next Sunday, Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth will be with us. Back-to-back powerful lineup. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you, God, that your word is true. We thank you, God, we can trust you. We thank you, God, you're all-powerful. We thank you, God, that we can come into your house and that your anointing will destroy every yoke of bondage. Today, Jesus, we glorify your name. Today, Jesus, we lift your name on high. Today, Jesus, we are so blessed to be in the presence of Almighty God. We love you. We honor you. We will worship you. And God, we thank you that you're going to change our lives today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Did you want to say something, lady?
Awesome. It's just awesome to be in the house of God. Listen, literally, the presence of Jesus changes everything. Not a joke. This is life and death. The presence of God changes everything. So today you have the privilege to come into the Holy of Holies, into his presence where everything can be changed and transformed in your life. So take advantage of this moment of being in the presence of God. Breakthrough, presence of God. Turnaround's going to happen and expect it. You didn't just come in to do a duty. You came in to encounter the power of Almighty God. Yeah. And that's what's going to happen. So expect whatever it is you have need of today, expect that it will happen. It will occur. My God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. That is not lacking. That is not missing. That is not broken. He will supply all of your needs. So what? Come on, get excited about being in the presence and the power of God. It's going to change everything. Amen. Let's worship.
Come on, and let's get ready to praise this room up at the altar so we can give God.
Good morning. Hey, Pastor. Good morning. I just love our worship team. Aren't they awesome? Woo! All right. I just have a few announcements for you, then I'll get out of your hair, and then we can get back to worship and praise. Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth will be with us on the 21st next week, so he will be here from 9 and 11 to 8 a.m. service. Wow. So anybody you're praying for to get saved, bring them here, okay? We want to see your people here. We want to see them saved. Get them to church. And then family nights are now on Thursday. We will have Rock Solid Faith, Uproar, His Kids. And then we have Woman's Book Club with Sherry as well. Then we have a new podcast with Pastor Rhonda, Pastor Spencer as well. and Mackenzie. It's also live, so download the app, or you can watch it live with them. It's not live. I lied. She said it was live last service, but it's fine. Cool. And then we have Turkey Bowl two Sundays from now after second service. We'll have football on some screens. We'll have flag football in the yard for the kids. Or if you're feeling like you can run some people over, I see you over there. You can bring your flags and get playing. We'll have food. It'll be lots of fun. Okay. So get there and don't forget that. Cool. Let's praise and worship.
My heart is full, I love you.
praise your name, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. Come on, just take some time and start lifting them up yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind, God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory. The blood of the Lamb and the Word.
I love you, Lord.
should please your heart. We love you, Lord. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about, it's all.
Hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you.
vanity, vanity, all is vanity. The only thing that we have that will ever remain steadfast is Jesus. You know, it's amazing how some people go so long before they catch it. Young people, get that early, and you're going to have a good life. What happens is we latch on to things that really aren't going to matter. You can have all the money in the bank, as Steve Jobs did, still couldn't save him. You can have a name that everybody knows, but when you die, after a while, they forget. But when you've got God, whether you're living in a big house or a small house, you're tall, you're short, doesn't matter your ethnicity, Jesus. When you get Jesus, you've got everything you need. It is all about Him. Until you realize that, you're going to struggle. You're going to constantly struggle. Oh, there's the anointing right there. You're going to constantly struggle. Because one minute you feel success, one minute you feel you've reached something, and then the next minute, it's gone. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always. Can I charge you today with all you're getting at your last gasp? The only thing that's going to matter is Jesus. Amen. And I know the young folk, man, it's a little challenging because you got aspirations and things you want to do, and, you know, us older people as well. But when you realize that all is vanity in the aspect of acquiring, then your greatest acquisition is your relationship with Christ. And then everything else, that's the cherry on top, baby. You ever have a sundae and just eat the cherry? No, I don't want just the cherry. I want the whipped cream. Come on now, I want that butter crunch ice cream with extra fudge on top. My God, Jesus. Yes, if anybody feels led, I think they're almost open. Friendlies. I would even eat that while Brother Chris is preaching. All is vanity. So please, here. It is November 14th, 2021, 11:36. Nothing else matters but Jesus. Get it in your spirit quick. As we've seen, times change. But beyond that, how many of you know your life can change just like that? We got a call not too long ago, just last week. A young man down in Texas. Young, 30. No longer with us. All that matters is Jesus. If you died today, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you'd know Christ as your Savior? Do you know beyond a doubt that you'd be with God forever? If there's a question in your spirit, you're not sure. Even that, if you had the question for a millisecond, oh my goodness. Man, before this service is over, you better make sure you sure that up. Vanity, vanity. All is vanity. I used to be cuter. Now I am not. I used to be thinner. I am definitely not. Behave yourself, Dean. Everything changes but Jesus. Amen. You don't mind me sharing that with you this morning? I just really felt that God needed you to hear that. God's got great things for your life. Don't throw it away for foolish things. You can get quick satisfaction, But man, once you realize it is vanity, it goes as quickly as it came. And then you still have a void. Get God with all you're getting. Get God. Amen? We want to give Brother Chris all the time he needs this morning. And so I'm not going to do meet and greet. Is that all right? We don't do meet and greet this morning. You can go right back to your seats. Praise the Lord. We're going to get ready to receive the morning tithes and the offering. And we're excited what God is doing in your life. Praise God. How many of you know that we are now doing family night on Thursday evenings? All two of you. Hallelujah. How many of you know family night's on Tuesday nights? Excuse me, Thursday nights. I'm excited about Thursday night. This last week at Thursday night, we had a good amount of folks out for Rock Solid Faith. Today, I'm going to receive the offering. And as we're receiving the offering, I just want to take you back to rock solid faith. You see, these are the principles that you learn that make you strong. Turn to someone and say, be strong. Amen. Tithing was never never man's idea. And what's amazing is in the American church today, I believe it's 9% of the church world tithe. That means 91% of the church doesn't tithe. And you know what I found is that grieves God's heart for three reasons. Everybody say three? Three. There's three reasons to tithe. Everybody say three reasons to tithe. Number one, it impacts your relationship with God. If you look in the book of Malachi, if you're Italian, chapter 2, the very last verse says this, if you return to me, I'll return to you, saith the Lord. Which shows what? It shows there's a breach in relationship. And then they said, how shall we return to you, Lord? And the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, return to me with your tithe and your offering. You see, tithing, God doesn't need your money, but God has designated the necessity for you and I to make sure that we never make money our God. Amen. And he's required from us, if I say required, well, you know, I don't like anybody telling me I have to do anything. Well, then, boy, you're in big trouble. You can't keep a job. You can't keep a wife. Amen. Amen. I mean, your whole life's going to be shambles if you cannot receive instruction. And so the Bible says very clearly that if they returned, that God would fill and fix the relationship that was broken. And the relationship was broken because the children of Israel did not tithe. The second thing is called stewardship. Does anybody know what stewardship is? Stewardship is when somebody trusts you to oversee something that's theirs. I got a real quick thing for you. Ready? If I walk up to, I almost called you Carla. Wow. I've only known her whole life. If I walked up and I said, I'm going to give you $300,000 cash. And then I walk over to, what's your name? I've known him longer, actually. Jeremy? No, really, I didn't forget. I'm sorry. I did forget yours. I have known him longer. Yeah, but I don't really know you since you were born. How old are you? Wow, you're old. That's true. Let's move on. Okay. And I give him open opportunity. I own Walmart. Don't we all wish? Glory to God. And I said to Jeremy, you can go into Walmart anytime you want, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can take anything off the shelf. It doesn't cost you a dime. Who has more? $300,000 or access? Access. And when it comes to obeying God and tithe and offering, when you own your own money, when it's gone, you got to fix it. But when you're a steward of the Lord, that means that God, by his Spirit, gives you open access as you walk in obedience through tithes and offerings. Say, I tithe out of relationship. Shout, I tithe out of stewardship. shall I tithe out of just sheer obedience. The Bible says, Leviticus chapter 27, 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. No matter what one you want to choose, I've always chosen to tithe. And I love it. I had a guy come at me this week on Facebook. He said, how does it feel to be a rich pastor preaching to poor people? And I said, well, thank you. I didn't know I was rich, but we must be getting closer for you to designate it. I said, have I ever met you? He said, no. I said, have you ever been to the church? He said, no. And I said, blocked. But the joy of it was this, was recognizing that people outside are recognized that I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. I could care less what they say about me because the blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm blessed. I said, I'm blessed. You see, when you recognize what tithing does for you, it's all about honoring God and obeying the Lord. So I challenge you, if you've never tithed before, to be a tither. Turn to somebody and say, be a tither. Tell somebody else, I'm believing God that you're a tither. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's get ready to give. If you're a guest in the house, we actually put an offering bucket in the front so that you can bring your offerings to the Lord. We also declare the word of the Lord over our finances. And this is ready. This is what it is. Shout it out loud. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. Now, come on now. I'm watching some of you. Basket. Is that all you want? Come on now. You see me, I make mine wide. Because I'm believing God for greatness. Amen. I'm believing God for abundance. Can I hear an amen? I want to be able to give to every need that comes to me. Glory to God. I want to be blessed and not cursed. I'm blessed in my... The blessings are going to chase me down. Trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're online this morning, this is your opportunity. I want to encourage you to be a giver right there online, histabernacle.com, or by text to give. So God bless you as you enjoy the rest of the service. This morning, I am so honored today. You know, as His Tabernacle, we get to bring in some of the most phenomenal ministers of the gospel of Christ. And today, I'm honored to bring in Brother Chris Estrada. And as your pastor, I don't bring people in. As you know, we don't have a lot of guests. The guests that we bring in, we make sure they're going to leave a deposit that will change your life. If they're going to come just speak, I'm not interested. We don't need another speaker. I'm an okay speaker. I'm okay. We don't need another speaker. We need an anointed man of God who's going to bring a word from God for our lives so that God can make a deposit to transition us, change us, shift us. And today we're honored that Brother Chris Estrada is going to be with us. He's an international man. I mean, literally traveling. He's traversed the world multiple. How many times? Do you know how many times you've traversed the world? He doesn't know. That's a really good statistic for you to get a hold of. How many times he's traversed the world? But not only that, he was just in a church last week of 5,000. Now he's in a cornfield in Horseheads, New York. But he's here because he has a word from God for you. Turn to someone and say, I thank God Jesus sent his gift to us. And his name is Chris Estrada. I'm going to get ready to receive the word of the Lord. Jesus, encourage me, spank me, realign me, do whatever you got to do to me, Jesus, to make me stronger in you. Amen. Why don't you welcome with me, Pastor Chris Estrada.
Are absolutely traditional.
Wow, what a true honor it is to be back at his tabernacle. You may be seated. Wow, I'm absolutely blown away by the introduction level in this church. I need you to introduce me everywhere. Like, I've just, no, oh my gosh. I could have, let's just pull you into some of these rooms. You know, what's funny is Pastor Spencer and even Pastor Rhonda, we spent some time, even we've had you out and I think it was in Florida, wasn't it? Yeah, we were hosting a bunch of pastors and leaders and just some incredible influencers in the room. And what I love about your pastor is he is who he is everywhere. And this isn't the show. You know, this isn't where he performs. He's like this everywhere. And I just appreciate authentic people. Come on, there is so much to be grateful for today. The fact that we get to be in church, the fact that we're worshiping. But this would not have been possible had it not been for the yes, literal the echo chamber of yes inside of their own hearts. And I think what God is doing through everything in this church, from feeding to outreach to helping to worship to youth and children, everything else in between, the women's movement, the way that the men are aligning, the training that you're getting, the school and the college, is because of quality leadership just like this. Come on, if you're grateful for Pastor Michael and Pastor Rhonda, come on, go ahead and let them know that you're grateful that they have prayed for your marriage, that they're contending and continuing to build your families. They're great. Come on, you're grateful that they've taught you the truth of God, that you would know God, godly integrity, that you would know holiness, that you would know blessing. We're just truly honoring your voice in this region. You really are. And I believe around the world, people have been touched by what you're doing. And every time I come up, you know, I'm talking with him or someone on the team, they're like, oh yeah, we have a church over here. I found out you guys had a campus in Canada and didn't even know that. So it just seems like things are moving forward. There's a ton of vision. And that's kind of what I'm attracted to is just this never-ending journey of not arriving and just continuing to build. So I recognize a few faces, but how many of you, this is the first time we've got to meet? Raise your hand if you're here. This is my first time getting to meet a lot of new friends. So let me tell you my story so you know where this crazy Mexican is coming from. Come on, where are the brown people at? Come on, Caramel. They're always in the second service. They're not in the first, because in the second, we sleeping in. We getting that extra siesta in. Y'all know, come on, where my caramel people at? Come on. And chocolate folk, come on. We got some chocolate in here. Hey, everybody loves some chocolate. And then we got a ton of whipped cream up in this room. It's just amazing. So everybody got a sweet tooth up in here. We on one big Sunday. Everybody got a sweet tooth in here. All right? But I grew up on the border of the United States and Mexico. And you probably have heard of my city, but for all the crazy reasons at one point. If you've heard about all the cartel wars, all the kidnappings, all the trafficking, those are all my cousins. I'm not lying. So at Christmas, it's fun or the FBI's involved. There's never an in-between. You're getting hit up by a DEA agent. Hey, tell me about your family. I'm like, I ain't no snitch, right? So I'm telling you. So you can imagine growing up in that environment. By the age of 12, I had a drug addiction, I had a lust problem, and an anger issue, but I love to play basketball. Come on, anybody love to hoop in here? Anybody? All four of you. That's great. Yeah, so I would go to this church that had a gym, and they would open up for the youth service, and they would try to get the students from the service into the gym, or from the gym into the service. Well, I would never stay. I would dip and leave and find somewhere else to play. But the youth pastor got involved in my life, and one day he came to me and said, hey, do you want to go to church camp? And I, honest to God, I had no idea what that was. He said, hey, you want to go to church camp? I said, there are going to be hot girls at this camp. There are going to be fine women at this camp. I want some options. And he said, well, we're going to go for Jesus. I said, fine, you can go for Jesus. I'm going to get some phone numbers. I'm going to camp. What I didn't realize is on the first night of that camp, I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and called into ministry all in one night. Game-changing night for me. Man, I tell you what, I wish I had time to explain how good he's been. The journey from leaving there into the business world, I'm sorry, into Bible college, into the business world, being a missionary in Sri Lanka, leading a youth movement, which has really landed me in this incredible vision of carrying this vision to unite the global church for the salvation and transformation of nations. I truly believe that we are living in Isaiah 66 moment where it says, can a nation be saved in a day? Can a people be reborn in just a moment? Come on, how many believe the hour has struck right in the timing and the alignment of God, and we are we're getting ready to see whole cities and nations be absolutely undone by the presence of God, and salvation will leap up from the ground, and healing will leap up on their bodies, and restoration will leap up on their lives. Come on, how many believe this is a move that God is doing right now? I wish I had time to tell you about the extended journey of it, but let me just tell you the beginning. In 2011, we found ourselves in the office of the president of Honduras. We said, President Lobososo, the country is in pain. Your homicide rate is here. Your suicide rate is here. Your poverty lines are increasing, not decreasing. We said, but what if God was speaking to your nation through the prophet Isaiah when he says, can a nation be saved in a day? Can a people be reborn in a moment? We said, Mr. President, we want to ask you for five things. Number one, would you stand with us 2 years from now in the largest city, in the largest stadium, in the largest city of your nation, declaring that Honduras is a new nation? Number two, would you open up all the borders so we can ship in millions of dollars of humanitarian aid and gifts and kinds and resources so that we could distribute this all across the nation? Number three, would you give us access to every high school so that we can bring an army of 2,000 missionaries to preach the gospel, do an altar call, the laying on of hands, and a follow-up campaign for anyone that makes an eternal decision? Number four, would you give us the 18 largest stadiums in the 18 largest cities of your nation? And number five, would you underwrite all the audio, visual, and lighting for those stadiums? You know, just some small asks to journey a world leader with. But he was so moved by the audacity of our faith, and he signed a resolution that 30 days later passed the Honduran government, and the name One Nation, One Day was born and considered an official holiday even to this day. And it birthed this vision, can a nation truly be saved in a day? What we watched as the church came together and just over 2,000 missionaries from all over the globe joined this incredible army. Then this happened in Dominican Republic, where again the world watched with amazement at what God could do in a nation that would humble itself and the church would unite, that they would stop being divided and they would be united. How many of you know a united church is an unstoppable church? This is why Jesus' final prayer was that we would be one. Not that we would, he's not going to get up into heaven and goes, which one was Catholic? Which one was Lutheran? Where are all the Pentecostals at? He's going to ask, where is my bride? Where is my church? This same vision came into Nicaragua under Ortega. If you remember Ortega, the dictator, and then of his wife, who's a professing witch, you would have thought this would have been the right recipe for the wrong vision. But the truth is God had a plan, and we found so much favor that one in every seven people in the nation of Nicaragua was reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ face to face, not digitally or virtually, face to face. Then God postured our vision to go into Peru, where we watched an army of 10,000 missionaries. This is the largest missions team ever assembled in the history of the church. 10,000 missionaries from 43 different nations. We had passports from Egypt, from Afghanistan, all over, that came in to pound ground for transformation and the salvation of souls in the nation of Peru. And in 7 days, we saw 1.1 million people give their lives to Jesus and join a local church. Come on, that is history. And then, of course, we knew at the end of 2018, coming in 2019, God spoke to us, said, I'm going to make an aggressive move on America. And I believe the hour has come that I'm going to start going from city to city I'm going to unite the church. I'm going to cause corruption to be exposed. I'm going to cause injustices and the pain from that to be healed. I'm going to cause what has divided you to actually unite you. And what should have killed you is only going to make you stronger. And what should have caused you in panic is going to find you in the place of prayer. And we begin to believe God that he was releasing a fresh vision in a Western civilized nation like America. And we started this vision of One Day LA. And we have just watched in July where 20,000 missionaries from all over the world, 20,713 to be exact, came from all over the world to adopt every city block in LA and believe that God was starting to posture the church into a place of influence and affluence. And I got more to say to what God did, but I can tell you this. The reach has not been in the hundreds of thousands. The reach has not even been in the millions, but it has been in the billions of lives that have been touched by the vision of One Day LA and the freedom experience. I'll explain more about that. But there's no way I could do this by myself. I married the right one. My wife, Erica, I think some of you ladies met her when she came a couple years out. And she would have come, but that babysitting situation is real. Because we don't live anywhere near our family. We live in California. And it's beautiful weather. It's not icy and cold. I hugged Pastor this morning. His ears felt like ice cubes. And that was wicked. I'm used to like 72 degrees, sunny, light breeze. I live close to the water. I like sun. Here, there's been some. But I like hunting. So I come. But the truth is, my wife loves you. She's prayed for you. I just met a man who 2 years ago, she began to minister. She got on the stage, had a word of knowledge. And this man was like, I just literally started this journey of being free from alcohol abuse. And he said, since that day she prayed for me, it's been 2 years he hadn't had a drop. Come on, that's power. I married the right one. She's a powerful woman, a powerful woman. And we have four beautiful kids. She wants more. I don't. Pray for her, not me. She's got a demon. All right. But I can't think of a better place to be than right here with my His Tabernacle family. Now, how many of you excited about the word today? Now, listen, I don't do no quiet church. Listen, if it goes quiet, you're going to see this Mexican with a mic get real insecure, and I'm going to throw it at somebody. All right? You need to talk back to me. Can you talk back? Somebody say yes. Come on, how many of you know the word deserves crowd support? I like home field advantage. Hello? I like playing that because that meant I had the most support coming from the people. Well, I believe the word should have home field advantage today. And let's cheer on the word. Let's respond to the word. Let's amen the word. Let's advance and amplify the word that's coming into life. Can you do that? Somebody say yes.
Yes.
No, church, say yes.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I believe it. I believe it. All right, turn on your Bible. Thank you. Turn on your Bible to Mark chapter 14. I know what generation we live in, for crying out loud. Turn it on. All right. Keep your Bible charged. All right. If you open it, that's fine. If you flip up and turn it on, that's fine. The Bible says that it's the word of God that's living and active, not what it's written on or what it shows up on. Let us not make a tradition out of something that's stupid. I love the word. I love every translation. I love everything about it. I love what it says. I also love what it does not say. I love the context. I love the literacy. I love the wording. Everything about the word of God is not by accident. It's not good literature. It's better than any book that you could pick up, because this book will not, you're not reading this book. This book is reading you. And it is telling you, I love the word for a lot of reasons. I love the word because God's word shapes me more into his son. I love the word because I can stand on his promises. I can see him activated, and they have worked out for your boy. I'm telling you, I love the word. I love the word because the devil hates the word. And that's good enough for me, all right? But I think many times we need to know the context of what we're reading. And in Mark chapter 14, it's interesting. We're in a room. We're in a home. We're in a room and we're around a table. And let me just go in order around the table. Possibly to Jesus's right is a man named Simon the leper. Now, you will know who this is because the home of this context is taking place in his house. This is Simon's house. He was a leper until Jesus walked up on his life, prayed for him, and he got totally healed. Come on, that's power right there. To a disease that had no cure, that had no breakthrough. That's equivalent to perhaps somebody's diagnosis, somebody's stage 4. Are you with me? Jesus walks up, heals what could never have been healed. So this guy, having been a leper, probably the only one on the planet that's been healed by it, is now sitting at the right hand of Jesus. Then you have possibly someone at the left. His name is Lazarus. This is the Lazarus that was raised from the dead. His sister's Mary, who you'll hear about in just a moment. Lazarus was literally on his deathbed, and his sister Mary sends a message. Lord, the one whom you love is sick. Waits a couple of days, another messenger comes. Lord, the one you love is dead. Jesus says, now it's time to go. Remember, Jesus walks up on his gravesite, knowing the end from the beginning, knowing this wasn't the end of Lazarus' story, but that God's will and purposes and power would be fulfilled. He tells the stone, the people remove the stone, and they're thinking a bad smell's coming out, but sure enough, Lazarus himself comes walking out of the tomb, and he gets raised from the dead. So people are like, what's that like? What's that? You know, come on, let's talk about that. Put that on TikTok. Hey, I was dead. That's a real move. Anyway, so then you have Lazarus, but then you have the disciples. And they're all around this table, and as they're all eating, you also have someone else who did not make the guest list, who was not invited, yet absolutely in the will, plan, and purposes of God, right here, right now, interrupts, becomes a holy interruption for a moment that could have been missed. Yet Jesus recognizes what's happening. And check this out. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Mark, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. It says, now Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon, a man Jesus had healed of leprosy. And as he was reclining at the table, a woman came into the house with an alabaster flask filled with the highest quality of fragrant and expensive oil. She came to Jesus, and with a gesture of extreme devotion, she broke the flask and poured out the precious oil over his head. But some were highly indignant when they saw this, and they complained to one another, saying, what a total waste. It could have been sold for a great sum of money, and the money could have benefited the poor. So they scolded, criticized her harshly. Jesus said to them, leave her alone. This is amazing to me, because I felt these words when I started studying for this message leap off the page. Leave her alone. I feel like all the panic in your life, God is causing this word to come on. Leave them alone. He's speaking to somebody's pain. Leave him alone, that mental torment. Leave her, them alone. Leave. I believe he's saying this over New York. Leave New York alone. Come on, he's saying it over America. Leave her alone. I truly believe these words are causing great pain in the kingdom of darkness still. Leave her alone. Why are you so critical of this woman? She has honored me with this beautiful act of kindness. You will always have the poor with you, whom you can help whenever you want, but you will not always have me. Let me put this in your role. What's he saying? He's saying there will never be another moment like this. You only get one of these. You don't get a repeat. You don't get a do-over. There is no replay. There is no reset. You get one of these. And you have to catch the right wind on the right day, in the right moment. You have to be aligned with God's purpose. You have to know the secrets of the secrets to become that friend that knows this right here is an outstanding, extraordinary moment. This moment was built to be sacred and significant. Verse 8, he says, when she poured the fragrant oil over me, she was preparing my body in advance of my burial. I promise you that as this wonderful gospel spreads all over the world, the story of her lavish devotion to me will be mentioned in memory of her. Let's pray for a moment. Let's pray. Guys, can you turn up my monitors just a little bit? Appreciate it. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be poured out on your people. Lord, I speak to this atmosphere, and I say that you are full of faith, and you are full of hope, and you're full of peace, and you're full of joy, and I come against every limit, every restriction, every barrier, every lie, every demonic harassment, I say is broken right now in Jesus' name. And I call every man and every woman into this season. I call them into their rhythm. I call them into strength. I call them into breakthrough. I call them into healing. I call them into authority. I call them into their identity. I call them into their plan. I call them into the strategy, and I break every excuse. I break the dry places. I break the dead places. I break the places of defeat and discouragement, and let fresh oil begin to pour on your people, that you would posture, that you would position, Lord, that you would plan, Lord, that you would establish, and you would demonstrate the goodness of God in the land of the living. We lift the veils now. We push through the smoke. We push through all the lies. We push through what our flesh sees in the seen in the spirit realm. Get our sight right again, that we would be established to see these kind of moments that we don't get over. There will never be another moment quite like this. Lord, give us this spiritual awareness and increase our life in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone shout it. Amen. 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 I want to speak to you from one word today. I feel in my spirit that it's time that we talked about being built. I think there's something about somebody who's built. Not talking that you have graduated with degrees. I'm not talking about success in the arenas that you're in. I'm not talking about having tenure and seniority. I'm talking that when the storms of this world, when the culture of this world, when the claims that are ungodly start approaching what should be yours, that you are so built, that you are so chiseled, that you are so developed, that you are so full of strength that you won't be pushed over by every wind of gossip and doctrine. You're not moved by social media feeds. You're not moved by headlines. You're not moved by culture wars. You're not moved by propaganda. No, you were built different. You were built by fire. You were forged by love. You were built to sustain. You were built to tear down and build back up in the same breath. Where are the built people again in upstate New York? Where are the people again who know what it's like to push back? When you see walls, you're not intimidated, you're activated. When you see opposition, you actually see opportunity. When you feel the presence of an enemy, you know that the impossible is just an invitation to accessing something that is impossible again. Where are built people at who are not just moved by stats, facts, and history, but are moved by being anchored in the Word of God? We need built people again. Nothing builds you like His Word. Nothing builds you like time in prayer. Nothing builds you like worship. Nothing builds you like surrender, like generosity, like serving, like supernatural lifestyles. Nothing builds you. I'm telling you. You may not realize it, but spiritual gains are being added to you just by being in the service. You might realize it, but that spiritual muscle that you've been wanting to have on your life so you could carry something fresh or encounter Him more, friend, you're being built right now. I got news for some people. You probably think, oh, I'm in so much trouble. I got so much hardship. I got so many things coming against me, friend. Quit crediting your trouble so much. People are like, I'm in trouble. No, no, no. I've had people tell me, I'm being tested with trouble. You're not being tested with trouble. You're being trusted with trouble. And when you're built, you will know the difference. And if anything does try to come and test you, you have the authority to shut it down. But when God gives you a plan to answer things like abortion, to come against things like school shootings and demonic activity, God telling you, you're not being tested, you're being trusted. And whether you see Him moving on your behalf is neither here or there. It does not matter. Because I have found that we are not a people of fate. We are a people of faith. Hello? How many know our God is intentional? Everything He does has a purpose to it. So whether God is doing something, how many know He's doing something on purpose? And if He's doing nothing, guess what? He's doing nothing on purpose. So whether He's doing something or doing nothing, friend, you're so built to know that He's doing it on purpose. Where are the built people at? Where are the built people? I'm talking about the things you've been praying for months and for years. You haven't strayed away from that fire. You haven't strayed away from that power. You haven't strayed away from that focus because you're built by it. Sometimes the destination wasn't the breakthrough. It was the journey because you knew He was building you. Sometimes we get the disease of destination and we just want to get there. But if we get there not picking up the tools and the training and the revelation, I'm telling you, when we get there, we will mishandle it and promotion will crush us because we weren't built. This isn't even in my notes. Can you tell? I've watched promotion crush too many people. I've watched some of the wealthiest men in America sabotage themselves with being promoted. I've watched some of the greatest influencers sabotage themselves with being promoted. I'm telling you, the fact that you have not gotten your breakthrough while God's doing nothing, that is the mercy and the blessing of God. Because the truth is, if that promotion came on you prematurely, it would crush you. But let it be said that his tabernacle people were being built and they were putting in the time in God's gym and putting on the spiritual muscle. And it's time that we had built people again. You're saved, but you're not soft anymore. You're saved, but you're not scared anymore. You're saved, but you're not a stranger to this level of warfare. Why? Because you're built. It's time we had built people. I'm telling you, I believe that they're in this. I believe they're in these chairs. I believe they're in this room. They're watching here in person or online. Built people are rising, and they don't need a name, and they don't need a title because they came with a mantle, and they came with a mission. And I'm telling you, we've got built people in America again that are going to sabotage the plans of darkness. It's a powerful hour to be living in. I believe that there are moments in your life that will tell you what you're built for, and they will tell you what you are not built for. Remember one time I was at a park, and I was watching this. I was walking by, and I see this guy sitting on the top of his truck. And I said, "Hey, man, what's up?" Just passing by, and he goes, "Nothing, just getting ready to watch my friend die." I go, "Okay." Right? So I remember walking away, but I hear the loud roar all of a sudden coming down this big hill of a man on a skateboard. He decides he's going to jump a 6-foot fence and try and clear it off a skateboard. Well, halfway down the hill, he got the wobbly knees. You know, yeah, this I'm not twerking. This is really the wobbly knees, all right? He gets the wobbly knees. Are you carnal Christians? All right, so he's getting the wobbly knees, and then all of a sudden, he lets out the biggest, F-bomb I've ever heard in my life. Oh, beep! And then he goes ribs first into the back fender of a truck, hits it so hard he bends the fender out straight out like this, and then he flips off the reaction, the ricochet, and lands on his ribs on the ground. And I walk over, and of course I ask the dumbest question known to people in this situation: "Bro, are you okay?" Of course not, he's okay. You know what I'm saying? But what do we ask? I mean, bro, how you feeling? Bro, how's it going? Did you intend to do that? You know, these are all dumb questions, right? But of course I ask it, "Bro, are you okay?" And he said, breathing like Quasimodo, right? Sitting there, just like this. And I'm watching his ribs go black blue. He's like, it hurts to breathe. I'm like, yeah, because you just hit a truck with your ribs. You're not built to do that. I had a friend of mine tell me one time he was at a Christian school competition. And they had two of these rival schools walked in the cafeteria at the same time and decided who's going to be the strongest and the best school is going to be decided basically off an arm wrestling contest. So they get like these big jack cut dudes like me come to the table and they put it on. I don't know if that's funny, but whatever. And I remember they're sitting there and they're going back and forth. Y'all remember that Sylvester Stallone movie, Over the Top, when he grabbed him? Come on, where the 80s people at, the 90s people? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You still do that. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that switch that turns on, you know? So here's this one strong guy on this side. He's big, right? This guy on this side, his nickname is Steroid. I'll let you go ahead and see that because he's getting a shot in his booty. He's juicing, right? So he's sitting there, and they're going over, and Steroid's big cut, but then all of a sudden, he feels like he's going to lose. So he's like, "I got to give it another pump. If I give it another pump, I'll win." So he pushes hard, and he comes up with this pump, and pow, the bone in his arm comes shooting out the side of his arm. And it's just hanging there just like this. And everybody's like, "Gotta go, gotta go." Everybody takes off running. Why would that happen? Watch this. Because the demand from the outside was too much for what was not built on the inside. And I believe that the pressures of this world and this life can easily cause you to break. But let it be said, it didn't matter if it was storms. It didn't matter if it was giants. It didn't matter if it was heresy. It didn't matter what came on me. I knew that I was built. Where are built people at again? You're not here to be cute. You're here to be dangerous for good. You're not here to be pretty and popular. You're here to be faithful, available, teachable. You're here to be strong in God, strong in His Word, strong in the Spirit. We need built people again. Not people with excuses. Not people who disqualify themselves. You don't even need the devil to do it. It's too much. I wasn't trained for that. Many times he will ask you to do something so far out of your levels of training and wheelhouse because he knows that everybody will look at you and go, there's no way that would have happened had it not been the hand of God. And you can't credit the degrees hanging on the wall, and you can't credit all the training you went. All you could credit was God built me and he was with me as we built this movement. Come on, we need some built people again. I'm telling you, it's time. It's time. And if we're going to be built, let me give you three things the built say with their life. Number one, I'm built different. I'm built different. Different means that you don't look like the world. You know what the world actually means in the original Hebrew and Greek? Believe it or not, I am Professor Estrada. All right. You know what it means? It means broken system, broken humanity. Why would we want to mirror what's broken? Why would we value what's broken? Why are we impressed with what's broken? Why are we so moved by what's broken? Why are we so shocked when what's broken breaks? And we need built people again. Let me tell you something. When you're built different, it means you're built holy. That you're not, how much can I do before it's sin? You're built wrong, baby. How much can I drink before I'm drunk? Built the wrong way. How much can I go? How far can I go before it's immoral? You're built wrong. Because guess what's going to happen? You will create excuse after excuse. But let it be said that built people did not have a list of reasons. Built people did not have their disqualifications. Built people had a yes thunder in their heart because they knew I'm built different. I love this because this is what I love about Mary's. They're built different. This is what I love about Jesus. He didn't make sense to even humanity. He still, to many, doesn't make sense who don't look at him with the lens of faith because he is built different. He was sent different. He lived different. He talked different. He prayed and it was authority in his words. He taught and there was authority in his words. And it confounded the spiritual elite of the day because he was built different. Then you have his disciples built different, going sent out, the 12 two by two, the 70 two by two, and they're coming back. The demons are subject to us. We're seeing signs and wonders. We're prophesying. We're seeing why? Because they're built different. I wonder how God is building you on this side of the cross, on this side of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, on this side of his legacy and history making moves. You're built different. I like this. You know, I like to smell good. I don't know about anybody else, but I have smelled some things that weren't human. Being in youth and young adult ministry, I'm sure it was demonic. 100%. Smelt like fish. Wrong. Evil. Wicked. Smells coming off of people. I'm telling you, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm telling you. I tell my kids, take a shower. I just took one. Take it again. This is wrong. This hurts God's heart. So you smell better. I like to smell good. And one of my favorite colognes is Chanel Blue. And so I travel quite a bit. And in the airport, you always have these like perfume cologne areas and or stores. And you walk up and you can see the same size bottle of the same cologne, Chanel Blue, but there are two different prices. The reason why is because the one that doesn't cost as much, the cheaper one is made out of water. Its base is water. The one that is more expensive is base is oil. And the big difference in the price is really how long the smell will last. See, if you get something that's cheaper, you will smell the same. You'll have the same everything, but it will not last as long. But if you don't mind paying a higher price for something that's built different, it will outlast all the other smells that weren't based in the right thing. Anybody want an oil-based life? Anyone want the anointing outlasting all of your fears, all of your insecurities, all of your problems, all of your stresses, and all of your struggles, and all of your storms, and all of the issues? I'm telling you, we need some oil-based built people again. We need you to be built different. You're not built with cheap materials. Our God is a wise master builder. He built you with the blood of his son, the sacrifice of his life, the cross that he hung on. He built you with the resurrection. You are not cheap. This is Mary breaking in. And what does she do? She breaks the most expensive thing she has, and she doesn't break it on culture. She doesn't break it to be impressed with men. She doesn't sacrifice the gift or the talent or the skill or the experience. You know what she does? She takes everything, her most expensive possession. You know what this is? This is the plan B. This is the safety net. This is, well, if church doesn't work out, I can fall back to this. If tithing doesn't work out, I can, it's real quiet. Yeah. If my prayer life doesn't work out, I'll just go back to this. Are you following me? She burned every bridge. She was like Cortez when he discovered new land in the Latin America area. He burnt all the boats. I believe it's time that we burned all the excuses, that we burned all our bridges, we burned all our boats that attached us to old patterns, to old mindsets, and to old thinking and old ways. She literally takes the plan B, what she has to rely on, and now breaks it on the crown of Jesus. If there's anything that I want breaking from my life, I don't mind it breaking on his feet. I don't mind it breaking on his hands. But when you anoint the king with your everything, I'm telling you, you will be unstoppable. Could it be? The reason why you feel so much of the pressure and the opposition is you keep keeping back parts of your heart and life. I'm just helping you out. You're built different. Here's the second thing you could say when you're built. Number two is you are built devoted. You're built devoted. You know, I have found that devotion can be seen in really two areas. The first area is the unknown. Come on, when you're not there and they're still devoted to you. Come on, how many love fidelity? You love loyalty. You love when people are devoted. And then you can also find out how devotion is when it's intense and you've been marked, but yet you've got all the opposition and those who stood with you, those are devoted. I remember one time I was in this one situation. I was going hunting like we did yesterday. Am I going to say who shot the best? But I'm a man of God. I don't lie. So I remember I'm going hunting in Texas, and I'm firing off all the emails off of my phone. We go and get all the food, and I'm talking like we don't go and get like chick food, like rabbit food. Okay, there ain't no hummus and lettuce and baby carrots. All right, and gluten-free, keto, blessed by some monkey organic, you know, something like that. This is California. I'm telling you, I lived in Texas. You had to look really, really hard to eat something clean. Now that I live in California, you have to look really hard to eat something fried. I mean, it's crazy. It's demonic. So anyway, so I remember I'm sitting there, and we're getting, like, steaks and chicken. How many know what I'm saying? Come on, man, back me up. We're getting meat, proteins, right? We're getting the double stuff Oreos because we don't believe in single stuff. Double stuff, and we put them on a skewer, and then we put it in the fire just to heat it, and we just one by one. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting there. I'm focused. I'm ready because I don't want any emails, nothing lingering in my thoughts. I want my inbox to be emptied out, so I'm focused here. My friend says, hey, Chris, we need to get some sunflower seeds. I'm like, dope. Let's go get some sunflower seeds, right? So he goes and grabs this, like, big five-pound bag. This is the friend that every time I've almost been arrested on this side of the cross, it was with him. And he's a senior pastor in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He barely saved. I mean, maybe. I don't know. There's a chair in hell and heaven, and we don't know. And we're going to figure it out. We're all going to be shocked. You made it? Oh, I knew it the whole time. I knew it. I'm telling you. Right? Some of you are pointing at people like, that's you. That's you. That's you. Right? I'm telling you. So he decides that he's going to be about 30 feet away and is going to throw the five-pound bag of sunflower seeds over the long line in the checkout aisle, and he launches it like this. Now, he puts a lot of love behind that throw, and all I do is I'm sitting here behind the cart, and I see a white bag, whoom, go over my head. and it hits the largest woman I have ever seen in my life right in the cheeks. Just like this. Boom! Just like that. To which she turns around and goes, excuse me? Have you lost your mind? I'm going to help you find it, boy. What you doing? She takes off her ear. Girl, hold my purse. I'm about to mess him up. It looked like Medea got hit in the back. This one was huge. If I would have stood up to her, I'd be like, hey! Talk to me like that. I'm telling you, I'm a little nacho. She could dip me and eat me. I mean, this woman's big. Big. Huge. Massive. Right? Excuse me, have you lost your mind? I turn around. What do I see my friend doing while she's yelling at me? He is walking out of the store acting like he don't know what's going on. Some devotion levels right there. What I love about Jesus is he's never had a day where he encountered defeat. What I love about his word is his word is timeless, is it surpassed every culture, every regime, every world power, every thinker, every single realm. His word is still everlasting to everlasting. His word is forever settled in heaven. His word is the Supreme Court of my life. It doesn't matter what man passes. What matters is what the word says. Because the word is established in heavenly places to which he's seated upon. And I can just look to him and his word to come through in my life. Why? Because I'm built devoted. I'm built different. Baby, I'm built. I love this because here's Mary. She breaks in. And all of a sudden she does the unexpected. She takes this jar. As Jesus reclined and pours every drop on his head. I mean, this ain't just some oil from Costco, okay? Or sand, all right? This is like expensive. Pours it. And this is where when they say, what a total waste. Let me tell you what's really behind these words. I told you who's around this room. You got the disciples. You got Simon. You got Lazarus. Both of these men are absolute local celebrities. And everybody's asking Simon, what was it like to be a leper and you got healed and saw body parts grow back and your decaying flesh all of a sudden returned and you got totally healed. So all the attention on this side of the table is going to Simon. And then, of course, on this side, it's Lazarus. And Lazarus, you were dead. You were in the grave. And now we want to know what it's like. What'd you see? What'd you hear? What'd you feel? We've never met anybody that has done this. What's that like? So all the attention on this side. So there is no one putting the focus on where it needs to be. Could this be 2020? Could this have been 2021? Could this have been some of the darkest seasons in your life that not only we didn't get destroyed, we got distracted? Can I help you out? The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I have come that you may have life. You know what I have found? If the enemy can't get you to sin, what he will do is get you distracted. Because a distracted life is a destroyed life because you wasted your life being distracted with what didn't matter. But I believe that people who are built devoted know where to keep the focus. They know where to keep the look. They know where to draw their strength. They know where to look to because they're built devoted. So then, when Mary breaks in and nobody's paying attention to Jesus, she doesn't ask for permission. She doesn't wait for the right moment. This is what I love about Mary's because they break protocol. They break all the rules. Come on, we serve a God that breaks the rules. He'll cause water to come out of a rock. He'll cause you to walk on the storm. Friend, he'll cause the dead to rise. He breaks all the rules. And then everybody's upset. They're not upset because of the waste of the oil. They're upset because they're hiding their conviction, trying to look spiritual. Between we could have given this to the poor. You're being religious. You've got a lifeless pageantry going on. You're wearing the mask now. You've got dry, fruitless cycles that have caused you to be distracted. You got familiar with me, is what Jesus is saying. Where was your devotion when you had all the attention? Where was your devotion when you had all the breakthrough? Where was your devotion? Are you seeing this? Mary comes in. This is what I love about Mary. I feel like we have a room full of Marys. Mary comes in and dumps the oil. And without even preaching a message, without even sharing an illustration, without ever prophesying, her name is forever memorialized in the eyes of God. All because of her action. She was built devoted. She pours this oil. What a total waste. And Jesus lets him get it all out. The Bible's very clear. They scolded. They criticized her harshly. And then Jesus speaks up. Hey, leave her alone. She did what none of you have done. She prepared me for the sacrifice of my life. She knew that this was a supernatural, significant moment in time and space, that there would never be another one. And rather than be suppressed by all of your standards and all of your religion, she broke through and she brought me right into the right alignment. I needed to be anointed. I am ready to complete the sacrifice for your souls. Leave her alone. That speaks a lot differently now. It shares a lot differently now. You know, I think a lot of people call things waste that aren't really waste. This world will tell you it's a waste to pray. Time spent in prayer is never time wasted. Time spent in the Word, never time wasted. I'm telling you, time spent in worship, being generous, carrying integrity. Friend, let me tell you what really is a waste. Success, and it costs you your integrity. That's a waste. A waste is churches with no souls saved in them. That's a waste. A waste is clout chasing and flexing on everybody. That's a waste. I'm telling you, it's time that we were built, devoted. Could it be that what this world calls waste, God calls worthy? Could it be that what this world calls waste, God calls worship? Stop playing games. We've got to call ourselves higher, built, devoted. Here's the last thing, number three. Built dangerous. You know what's interesting? I told you, I love what the Bible says. Every word is intentional. It says that this wasn't just expensive oil, and that would have been enough. It also goes to the trouble to tell us that this was fragrant oil. This oil had a penetrating atmosphere takeover element to it. And you wouldn't know it why unless you really saw this through the eyes of Revelation. If you remember whose house this is Simon the leper. The leper. If you've ever been around the leper colonies of India, or the leper colonies in the Middle East, I'm telling you, it stinks. It smells. It's just rotting flesh. Your body is decaying. It smells like death. And his house, no doubt, the walls, the rugs, the curtains, everything smells like death. They are having a meal where it smells like death. They are having conversation where it smells like death. It smells like a dead place until a Mary breaks through. And she takes that oil and she doesn't reserve it for her rainy day, her emergency fund. No. She is not holding back not one piece of her life. She's so dangerous she can read the spiritual atmosphere, not just the natural atmosphere. That's how dangerous you get. She lives with a higher call and a higher purpose, not just because there's degrees on her wall, which I'm sure there weren't, but because she knew the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. She broke through something that others said could never be possible. It smelled like death until a Mary shows up and an anointing counters Jesus. And now Jesus' anointing doesn't cause it to smell like death. The Bible says the house was filled with fragrant oil. In other words, what used to smell like death, baby, because Jesus got anointed, because Jesus was prepared, because people knew, because someone saw it, it didn't smell like death, it now smells like life. I don't know about you, but I remember when my past smelled like perversion. I remember when it smelled like pain. I remember when it smelled like wickedness. But when I got touched by the blood and the love of Jesus, I'm telling you, my life started smelling like holiness. It starts smelling like purity. It starts smelling like grace. It starts smelling like mercy. You're dangerous. What you carry shifts atmospheres. That's why people look at you and they keep looking at you. You're a light. Why they stare at you. You're a beacon of hope. You're built dangerous. You know, I told you about all that we've seen in the nations. There was this moment where God said, I'm going to make an aggressive move on America. He said, we thought, okay, July 2020. Of course, March 2020, we all remember what that does. That everything went to a bucket of suck. So here we are in like April going, do we cancel? Do we postpone? I mean, we're calling 20,000 missionaries to Los Angeles. And I remember we're sitting there and God speaks to us and says, you are not allowed to do a budgeted version of my heart. You are only allowed to do the full version of my heart. Don't you dare give them a Walmart version. So we said, okay, Lord, how are we going to do this? He speaks back and says, what you plan to do for a week, do it for a whole year. A whole year. So now we're like, okay, we need keys. I'm just in our experience, different keys unlock different cities and nations. We have to be very strategic because what wins LA won't win New York City. Right? What wins Atlanta will not win Phoenix. It's going to be different. Lord, tailor your word. Tailor your strategy. Customize this so that it wakes up the city to the greatest display of love it has ever seen. So God gives us key initiatives. The first one was unite my church. Draft behind the spiritual authority. So sure enough, at the first call, we shared the vision. Who answered was 658 senior pastors who said, we'll build the greatest coalition in Los Angeles that has ever been. And sure enough, they dedicated their churches to being testing sites and serve centers, education hubs. When the schools shut down, the churches just opened and put the school right in their churches, their campuses, and all their buildings. And they got to feed because a lot of the schools, I think it was something like 65% of the kids that are in LA County schools only get one meal a day throughout the school year. And that's free lunch at the local school level. But the church stepped up, picked up the bill, and started doing it. And it restored the influence and affluence of the local church like that. Powerful. Then God said, I want you to pay off medical debt. I want you to lead with radical generosity. Just like I gave my son, I need you to give with radical generosity. We said, okay, medical debt, where do you want to start? Go for the impoverished neighborhoods because people are living under the thumb of that pressure of medical debt. We said, no problem. I'm happy to report as of 2 weeks ago, we have crossed over $47 million worth of medical debt completely dissolved for 23,000 families who got a letter saying your medical debt has been dissolved. It is this is your confirmation number, no strings attached. And if you need anything, his Tabernacle Church is just 3 miles down the road. Please contact Pastor Spencer. Are you following me? Why? Because our vision, as Mitch as me, is not to point to us. We're done with that. Let me tell you what our vision is. Our vision is not to ask the local church to platform us. We're here to platform the local church. That's what we're here to do. Nobody knew it was us, but everybody knew the church was involved. Then God said, I want to go after the foster care. Man, this is a whole nother strategy in itself, but it broke open. Really, this was a key piece in Los Angeles. Los Angeles has the largest foster care system in America, a $700 million federal budget just for Los Angeles, 40,000 kids in foster lanes or adoptive lanes. In Los Angeles, in a city who tries desperately to love those who need a place and a home, they could generate maybe on a good year 100 leads of families who would say, I'll adopt or I'll foster. We said, this is not a civil issue. This is a church issue. And we're going to put fire on the vision and put it in front of the church. The church responded with strength. And we have now, in 12 months, when they generated maybe 100, we've watched the church strengthen itself and generate over 2,000 families who said, well, give us your babies. We'll raise them like our own. Powerful, and it's still going up. Then God said, go into the prisons. I'm happy to report we have a service in all 35 state penitentiaries in California, which is history, that's sanctioned and blessed, really, by the governor, by the warden's board, by every official that you would think of is on board with this. Why? Because we said when a convict becomes a convert, they have a community to continue to establish covenant with God, and we get to break that generational curse of repeat offending. Are you following me? God said, call the men. I mean, I could tell you so much. But God said, you're going to do 7 days of service in July 2021, and then you're going to end it in a stadium. Well, we had already put six figures down in Memorial Coliseum. Anybody remember the iconic Olympic Stadium? 100,000-seater, not too bad, right? Well, there's another stadium, a soccer stadium right next to it that has a clause that says, if there's something going on in the soccer stadium, nothing can happen in Memorial Coliseum. Sure enough, our date fell on that. Memorial called and said, we're very sorry. But because of COVID and the rescheduling, soccer games have landed on your date. We have to dissolve the contract. They refunded our money. And now we're a vision that's been casting the stadium moment with no stadium. We're like, God, what do we do? I'm not lying. Hours later, SoFi Stadium calls. How many know SoFi Stadium? The new Rams Chargers Stadium, the most expensive stadium ever built in America. It cost $5 billion. This thing was built for the gospel. And so and there had never been a live event of its kind. And they called us, said, we heard about what you're doing in Los Angeles. And we want to ask, do you want SoFi? We're like, funny you should ask. They said, we're going to ask the two who already are ahead of you on the list for that date to move. and we'll call you back. I said, okay. First phone, we found this out later. First phone call. Hey, Taylor Swift. This is what's happened in LA. One day LA's vision. Can you move your day? She's like, absolutely. Moving my day. She moves. Next phone call. Hey, Kenny Chesney. Need you to move your day. Here's what's happened in LA. Absolutely. They both move their day. Call us back. Hey, one day LA. Do you want the stadium? We're like, yes. I mean, it's just incredible. Now, this is real money. I mean, you're talking about $5 million just to turn on the lights. This is not production. This is not anything else. It's not labor costs. $5 million, all right? It's just more zeros at some point. It's just or another zero, right? But yet God had already had a plan. Shortly after we secured it, we got a phone call. Anybody ever heard of Coachella or Stagecoach? The largest music festivals on the planet. The co-founders called us. Hey, we heard about what you're doing in LA. We are so moved. And we're just sick and tired of watching kids overdose in our concerts, being carted out in gurneys, in ambulances. We're tired of people being raped. We're tired of everything that's coming with our festivals and the scene it creates. And what we want to finally have is some purpose in our lives. These are great Jewish men. We want to finally have some purpose in our lives. And they said, could we do all your production for you for One Day LA's Freedom Experience? We're like, yeah. Then they asked this shaking question. Who's your lineup? We said, look, we're really positioning some great conversation right now. Things are going to land really in a strong place. That's code for we're praying and we don't know. You can't just walk in. You got to use. Yeah, it's so interesting. Anyways, to put faith in business terms, it's great. They said, fine, you have 30 days. If we don't get a solid lineup in 30 days, we cannot host. We can't run all the production, the back line, everything. We can't do any of that. I said, okay. So they call us 2 weeks later. Hey, we're getting nervous. Who's your lineup? I said, look, there's a lot of people being postured right now, and things are coming aligned right now. We'll feel like they'll come online here in the next few days. That's code for we're praying and fasting now. And God's going to answer. They call us back the 30th day. They said, okay, guys, because it's a team of us that carry this vision. Guys, who's your lineup? I said, okay, let's peel back the curtain. I said, listen, you know that we're faith-based. You know we're Christians. And you know that in your industry, it takes 2 or 3 years to build a solid lineup, especially for a brand new stadium that hasn't had a live event of its kind in it. We recognize that we are literally way behind the curve. We are so lost. But our experience in the nations after doing 64 stadiums has taught us to have a higher risk tolerance, which is called faith. Have a higher risk tolerance for moments like this. And we need you to make the journey with us just 24 more hours because God has to move. And they said, okay, fine. You have 24 more hours. A few hours later, we get the breakthrough. You know, LA doesn't just show up for anybody. You know, you can't just throw all your Christian artists up on a billboard and everybody's like, oh, I'm going to go here, Stephen Curtis Chapman. You know, they're not going to do that. Love Stephen, but they're not going to do that. Love Carrie, love Rick. I love all of them. They're not going to do that. This is LA, okay? They don't turn up for nobody unless it's someone that's like a tier one global icon. So we said, who's a tier one influencer that's a Christian? How many know that's a short list right there, all right? Who's a tier one influencer that's a Christian and it's not afraid to share their faith? That's an even shorter list, right? Who's a tier one influencer that's not afraid to share their faith and will do it with us at SoFi Stadium on July 24th, 2021? That could only be any, mini, miny, Justin Bieber. A few hours later, this vision ends up in front of Justin, who is looking at us, crying, weeping, because he knew God had spoke to him already before and said, he said, this is what I've been praying about. I had to reschedule my tour, but I knew that I was called to a moment in Los Angeles and perhaps America where everyone who watched and listened would hear about what Jesus has done for me. And then there would be somebody that would get up and they would preach Jesus to where we could lead them into an eternal salvation moment and they could make an eternal decision. And I believe that the name of it's going to be called the Freedom Experience. I mean, wild. And then he says, have you built your lineup? And if not, can I help you build it? We're like, Justin Bieber, anytime your friends want to be our friends, we're totally okay with that, right? He says, no problem. Gets on the phone in 1 hour. Hey, Chance the Rapper, I need you on July 24th. Bet, I'm there. Hey, Jaden Smith, I need you. I'm there. Hey, Tori Kelly, I need you. I'm there. He goes through a whole list. Chandler Moore, Carrie, I mean, he's calling everybody. In 1 hour, he builds a lineup that Coachella themselves have never had. I remember calling them back going, hey, guys, how do you feel about Justin Bieber, Chance the Rapper, Jaden Smith, Tori Kelly? And he's like, no blanking way. I said, no, this happened. There's no way. Sure enough, they get the confirmation. They're like, oh, my, blanky blank, whatever. I said, praise God. You know. And sure enough, on July 24th, when you have all of these major influencers, how many know they're not just pulling in people from the streets, from the clubs. They're pulling in people from addiction. They're pulling in people who would never darken the doors of local churches. And now they are amplifying a salvation moment. And they all knew. And they didn't charge us one thing. Don't tell me we're not built different. Don't tell me we're not built devoted. Don't tell me we're not built dangerous. They came in absolute humility. We know the play. We know what the strategy for the night is. We're going to carry it with you. When you have these type of people come in, I'm telling you, the type of people that follow them come with them. And I'm telling you, I am watching not just people who are so far from God. I'm watching people who you all know, the highest paid athlete in the world. I'm watching Conor McGregor and his wife getting absolutely rocked by the presence of God. I'm having to move. Hey, Taylor Lautner and Klay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, can you move? Because Tori Kelly's parents are supposed to sit right here. I am watching the top. We asked God, give us the top 100 social media accounts. He gave us like the top 500. I'm talking about everybody from the LeBrants, the D'Amelios. I'm talking about every swag boy. I'm talking about everybody. Gave it all. And they're all sitting there with their phones highlighting the moment. Freedom Experience was trending for like a month. Then we knew that what God was doing in the stadium was sacred. When we watch people coming in and they're dressed like they're for the club, because that's the scene. And then you've got a pastor right next to them. And then you got someone else who's got heavy liquor in both their hands. And they're all three weeping under the power of Almighty God. Friend, I have never seen a more multi-motivated audience in my life. Never seen that in church or a conference or a stadium or an arena, but that's what happens when you're built dangerous. I'm watching their lives absolutely change. I'm watching, I wish I could go down a list. It would take me a whole hour, no lie, no exaggeration, to tell you who was there. People from royal families across the planet. I'm telling you, when we knew that we were capturing something in the moment, but we knew we were catching something virtually. We posted it. We had to get 187 different executive producers to sign off on us posting it on YouTube. I'm talking about Jay-Z, Kanye, everybody. And I remember we posted it. It was only allowed up for 60 days. And between that on the YouTube channel and all the macro and micro content, over 500 million streams have happened. And 500 million people have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in one moment. That's bigger than the viewing audience of ABC, NBC, and CBS combined. We're built different. We're built devoted. And we're built dangerous. Would you stand up with me? I know I've preached a long time, more than you normally go through, but I think sometimes you need to hear the wins. You need to hear about the breakthroughs. You need to hear about that actually happened. I have people coming up to me. That actually happened? You know, that happened? And 6 days later, you know where I was standing? Right here. I was here for Uproar Conference. You're family to me. This covenant, this is bigger than preaching. It's bigger than quality time spent together. It's bigger than that. I feel sent. We're in covenant together. I care about you. I care about you. I care enough to know that there could be some people in this room that have never, ever given their life to Jesus, or they need to come back to him. You've been backslidden. You've been distracted, but God's restoring your life. If you have never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to do that now. I'm watching the world's wealthiest people. I'm telling you, we sat. One of the wealthiest men in America. If I said his name, you'd know it. And I'm watching God do great. I'm watching God be true to his word. But I know it don't matter what money you come from, what education you come from, the color of your skin, the accent. I don't care. His blood is for everybody. I want to give you an invitation. If you have never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I want to give you that opportunity. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you have never given your life, and this is your moment, you feel the pulling of God's love. Son, daughter, surrender your life. Give me your life. If you have never done that, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to know who I'm praying for. Come on, raise your hand. Don't play games. This is an eternal moment. This could have eternal consequences and ramifications on your life. If you need to dedicate your life to Jesus for the first time or have never done it before, yes, sir, I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, Jesus. Yep. Yes, ma'am, I saw your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Jesus. Jesus. I want to pray for our friends that raise their hands. Whether they're here or online, it doesn't matter to me. But I want us all to pray together. Church, can we pray with some volume and say, Jesus, I give you my life. I thank you that you died for me, that you rose again, and you're alive today. I thank you that I'm built just like you. I'm built different. I'm built devoted. And I'm built dangerous. I declare my life is yours. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we raise up a shout? Come on, can we thank the Lord? You know, I believe one of the calls on my life is to activate, is to mobilize, is to provoke. And I do this because we need a bigger army. I mean, we're believing God for 40,000 to come to Houston. Then we're going to believe God for 50,000 to come and march into Miami. What would it be like if we had 100K marching on the streets of New York City? And I'm telling you, watching God absolutely transform a world city be powerful. But this type of rebellion, this holy rebellion, this type of revival starts right here where you're at. And I want to pray for those who are like, man, this word is gripping me. It's building something on the inside of me. I want to pray for you. You say, Pastor Chris, could you just pray for me? I want to live like that. I want those dreams. I want those kind of plans. I want to run out so God can run in. I want that kind of authorization. I want that kind of walk. I want that kind of life. I want that kind of authority. I want that kind of influence. I want God to use my life in whatever it means. Transform this region. Transform this campus and that campus. Transform this school. Transform this community. Come on. Transform our own city. Come on, Horseheads, Elmira, Ithaca, Syracuse, all the way in the PA. I'm telling you, God's going to move because you're dangerous and you're here. You say, Pastor Chris, that's me. Would you pray? I want to pray in agreement. Anybody say, man, I want to be built. I just want to be built. Am I talking to people? I just want to be built. Wow, look, I love these hands. Take it and put it on your heart. I want to pray over you. Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Father, I declare right now over your people that they are not built with missing parts, secondhand parts, deficient parts, insufficient places. No, they are built correctly. They are built with your gaze and with your activation, Holy Spirit. Your hands are all over their life. I declare that what you are built is not temporal, it's eternal. You're built with things like faith. You're built with things like risk. You're built with things like focus. I declare, built in Jesus' name. You're built different. You won't be like this world. You won't make sense in the world. You won't make sense in this context. You won't make sense, but that's exactly why you're relevant, because you're built different. I declare you're built devoted. That when you feel the fresh squeeze of God's hands or the squeeze of pressure or the squeeze of the unknown, that you're so loyal, you will not be moved. And you will not vacate authorized places. I declare also that you're built dangerous. That you'll be so moved by God. That you'll be so reflecting Him. That there is no devil. There is no disease. There is no depression that could withstand the presence and the glory of God that's on your life. You will be dangerous everywhere you go. May you be provoked. May you see like Mary. There will never be moments like this in every place. In every place, I declare you are built you were built. You know, I truly believe that one of the greatest moments that we could be built is the moments of what we focus on. And if you want to be built, and how many know you have to have godly habits? I believe that what we are watching is a great revival. I feel the birthing pains of a third great awakening begin to rush itself across America. But I believe that the people are going to sustain it aren't just going to do a good church attendance. They're going to be built. May we not be like steroid, who when the pressure of a nation comes on us, that our bones are being disjointed. May we be built with spiritual disciplines, godly focus. And I can tell you that if you build in the right places, you'll be able to carry everything that comes on you, your marriage, your babies, your job, your business. All you have to do is get your habits right. That's it. So we built this resource. It's a curriculum. This is the workbook, but you can go in the back. There's an access code in the back that you can get into this curriculum. It works on every device. I was asked that a lot. It works on everything from a phone to an iPad to a laptop to Apple TV, everything. You can get this. Go and use this. Come on, we're without excuse now. If you're wanting to learn how to be built in how to study and meditate on the word effectively, this is for you. How to increase your prayer life and have some authority, this is for you. Come on, we need to be built to fast, built to worship, built to be generous. Come on, hello? Am I talking to anybody? We need to be built correctly. So go and get this. I don't know how many are left. First service really moved on this, so go and pick this up. Do I have any parents in the room? Any parents? Come on, nobody wants to. That's what a pandemic will do to you right there. Like, no. They're not mine. Today, no. Right? How many know the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. And what he means is literally, he literally means my God's greatest priority is your freedom. Now, how many know we have to be trained to think in freedom? We are not trained with choices, or not. We are trained with commands instead of choices. And what we really need is to know that I can operate in freedom. You know, I thought as a parent for years, my job was to manage people's my kids' sins and mistakes. As a pastor, I thought that was my job, manage their sin and their mistakes. That's not my job. My job as a parent, as a business owner, as a leader, as a pastor, is to help them manage their freedom. And if I don't have a language of freedom on how to develop employees or my own house, then they will come under intimidation so that when peer pressure comes, they won't learn to think in freedom. When they end up in college and they end up in some atheistic, humanistic professor's classroom, they'll have a realm of freedom that they know how to shut things down. Are you following me? We need to have a language of freedom. And that's why we built Limitless. This is exactly why we built it for, was so that you could have a language. We literally tell you how to do confrontation. Come on, some of us, our confrontation is not effective. A lot of yelling, a lot of shouting, a lot of intimidating, and nothing changes. But what if we could speak with a language that pierced through all the emotion, all the dysfunction, and we operated in freedom? Come on, we need you to get this. Go and pick this up. Again, it's a curriculum. You got all the stuff in the back. And then, of course, I believe that God is breathing fresh strategies. And what we need is people who know how to finish. Are you following me? The world's impressed by what you start, but it's transformed by what you finish. And Jesus was the greatest finisher on the planet. If you have a habit of starting things and never completing them, procrastinating or getting overwhelmed in the middle of the journey, friend, this is a message for you. Go and pick this up. We have other things. I'm going to be signing books. I'd love to meet you. I'm so honored to be here. I want to ask you for your help and your generosity. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote about the Macedonians. He said the Macedonians gave according to their ability and beyond their ability. In other words, what most people know is the Macedonians were the poor of the poor. This would be equivalent to what Mother Teresa ministered to in Calcutta. What I've seen in Sri Lanka, I'm telling you, the poor of the poor. And not only were they poor, but they were incredibly gripped with the principle of generosity, of sowing and reaping. God gives seed to the sower. They knew they could unlock and break the power of poverty. So they didn't just give according to their ability. These poor folk gave above their ability. Now watch this. Not only did they give above their ability, they went to Paul and gave him a financial blessing. But they also understood stewardship, and they made sure that when he got to this city, that he would have another resource well to pull from, another war chest to pull from. You know, it just reminds me of Alexander the Great. Alexander was different from every conqueror at the time. Conquerors would walk through the cities and the nations they conquered, and they would flip out like copper coins or silver coins, and it was completely generous on their part. Alexander was different. He didn't do copper or silver. He literally flipped out gold coins. One of his top generals, his aides, comes to him and says, you know, he said, a copper coin or a silver coin, Your Majesty, would suffice for a beggar's begging. He said, that may be true, but a gold coin reflects the character of the giver giving. And I believe that when you partner with us, your generosity is extended towards my family. I can tell you that your generosity is going in to cities like Los Angeles, Houston, Miami, New York, Chicago. Come on, we're going to take Atlanta. Why not Washington, D.C.? Hey, Pittsburgh, let's storm Detroit. Why not Phoenix? Are you following me? I want to thank you for giving not just according to your ability, but above your ability. It's an absolute honor to partner with you in this sense. I'm going to call Pastor, and he's going to tell you how to do it.
Brother Chris, I got it. He did all right today. In your seats, there's an envelope. It's green. It's a green seed envelope, seed offering. I'd encourage you to grab that as quickly as you could. And we want to pray over that. We want to be able to send him away with a blessing. One of the things that this house is known for is that when guests leave here, they go, wow, thank you, Jesus. What a generous church. And that's what we're known for. And we're going to continue with that. Amen. So we're not asking you to empty your bank account. Just ask the Holy Spirit what he wants you to give. And that's all that matters. If we're all obedient, blessing will be there. For those who wanted to get right with God, Mindy's right over here. Right after service, make sure you make your way up to the front. We want a Bible. Give it to you. We want to encourage you. We don't want you just to start. We want you to be a finisher. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, we speak over this offering in the name of Jesus. We declare, God, that as we sow, we shall also reap. Father, some they've never sown before. I pray, God, as you place on their spirit the exact amount that you desire, that, Father, by your spirit, you will bring a harvest quick for them in Jesus' name to show them that working the kingdom of God's principles always accelerates our lives. So we release a blessing right now on Brother Chris and his family, a blessing right now on this offering, and we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Don't forget, next Sunday, Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, we love you very much. Have an awesome day. To the front.